Well, good morning or evening or wherever this finds you. It is good to see you. I've really enjoyed all of our Zoom faith meeting times, and whether it be life groups or Bible studies or the different things that we've been able to do using the technology that the Lord's provided, and to be able to get in touch with each other, and a couple face-to-faces and people out trying to figure out how they can help and getting involved in the community and hair getting long and all that stuff. And it looks like that there's going to be some measure of reopening the world to back up here in the next couple of weeks, and so we'll try to do that as cautiously as everyone else is, and what that means likely is that as soon as we start having meetings again, a couple or 3 weeks, whenever that's prudent, what we'll do is we'll continue to keep our hands clean and make sure that there's some of that gel for everybody. Also, we'll make sure that you can, that we sit with our immediate family, but that we put a little space between us and the other people. Maybe like two chairs would probably be about 6 feet, and then we'll spread the rows out a little bit so that we can be nice and loose and comfy and keep away from each other. And we'll do that real slow and sure, and we'll continue to do Facebook Live and Zoom meetings for those who are not yet comfortable with coming back in, or if you're in an at-risk category and you're not ready to meet personally yet. So we're just trying to be sensitive to what's going on and be as safe as we can and get back together as soon as we can, trust the Lord, and enjoy each other. So this morning, or this evening, depending on where it is and when it is that you're watching it this afternoon, we're going to be getting back into our Ephesians series. And I'm excited about this section of the series. We spent several weeks going through all of the blessings that God has given his people in Christ Jesus. The whole book starts out with, you're the saints, you're these holy people, and that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And he began to unpack, before the foundation of the world, you were even being blessed because you were being chosen and you were being given to Christ. And the great plan of God purchasing you was put together before any of you even came to be. And so those are glorious things for us to learn. We learned that not only were we broken people, fallen people, but that God had purpose from before the beginning of the world, that he would rescue us and that he would ransom us. That is, pay for us, that his son would, and that we would be gathered to him, and that the means by which he would gather us to him is that he would tell us about Jesus. He would point us to the way that God makes people right with himself, and that is that we have a substitute, and it's his own son, the Lord Jesus, and that substitute has done everything that God required for us to be right with him. So he lived a perfect life, and because God requires righteousness and a righteous life, and in that same righteousness, there's a penalty for brokenness. That is, God's not going to let any of our foolishness stick around. It has to be paid for in full, has to be cleaned. It has to be cleaned up. We have to be, as the old Christmas song says, we have to be fit for heaven so that we can live with him there. And so God had to fit us for heaven, and essentially that is it. God had to provide for our cleansing and our purification, and he did that in the death of his own son. So the righteousness of God was in one act. And the Bible says in Romans 5 that there was one act of disobedience that damned the world. There was one act of obedience saved it. And that was that Christ died. And for the many that Christ died, those people who had already been identified even before the foundation of the world, for the many that Christ died, we are the recipients of all of these blessings. And so we saw that these blessings, we saw our state in chapter 2, how we were fallen and broken, didn't know God. We were carrying on like every other person who doesn't know God. And that God, because he was merciful, he came and opened our eyes with the gospel and gave us something to believe. It was by grace that he did that. And it was through faith, through that something to believe. And that something to believe was even in itself, faith was a gift from God. It was not of works, because we would have attached salvation to us. We would have said that there was something that we did that merited God's favor and that earned his mercy. So it wasn't that way. Well, we begin to see God's great, great plan. And his great plan was to, through Jesus, make peace between God and man, make peace between man and man, literally join the world together under this one head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for all of those people from every tribe and every tongue, every nation, all around the world, the Bible says that we'll be gathered. And there's this one people, and it's the same one people that we saw in Ephesians 1:4. Those people are being gathered from around the world and being united. And so what the shadow of that was, that there was a special people of God in the Old Testament. The reality of that is that special people is from every nation and every tribe and every tongue. All of the people that God had purposed to bring to himself, all of the people that God had given to his son to be his son's bride, the church. So we're all being gathered together. And so Paul says that if you guys knew your inheritance, it'd blow your mind. And so he prays that we'd know it. He said, if you knew how much God loved you, it'll blow your mind. So he prays that we'd finally get it. We'd finally figure it out, the love of God for his people and the blessings that God has given to us. And so then we saw in chapter 4, he said, well, since that's true, and if you've got your Ephesians book, you can open that back up. And so he says, since that's true, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, God has called you because you're his people. And he says, I want you to walk, that is, live your life in a manner that's worthy of that calling. And so that's what we're doing, and we're unpacking that. And God says that one of the things that is worthy of our calling is to look right here in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, that is, putting up with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there's one body and one Spirit. And so God, and the reason I'm saying this is because you're going to see why this matters to today's teaching. And that is that God has said, one of the first things I've called you to is not to be individual believers. I've called you to a body, and you're not the body. The body is you plus everybody else that I've called. And so he says, and I want you to be united to that body. You are united to that body, but I want you to live that way. And I want you to put up with each other, bear with each other, and because you're all part of the same body. And then he says that, and he begins to unpack that, and those were good teachings from Brett about our unity and the purpose that God would give to the church, a particular group of people. That particular group of people would build the church up, and they would do it with the truth. This is important also. And so if you look in chapter 4, go down to verse 15, is that that the believers, these people that God had given the church, these teachers, pastors, and were going to make sure that we were going to mature, we wouldn't be children. And the means by which that was going to happen is that we would speak the truth to each other in love, and we would grow up in every way to him who is the head, that is Christ. And so Christian behavior, if you will, is Christian maturity. And maturing is you learning how to walk in a manner that's worthy of what all the stuff that God has given to us by his grace in chapters 1 and 3. That is, that God has transferred to us his righteousness. And he has said that the righteousness of Jesus is yours, and that the one act of Jesus is on your behalf and your beneficiaries. And so that brings peace. That brings peace with you. That brings peace with you and God. But it also brings peace with you and everybody else who's been called to be a part of our body, the body of Christ. And so he says, and then he goes and he unpacks the method, if you will, or the means, the method, this ongoing lifelong method of us being transformed into the image of God, transformed into the person of Jesus Christ, his body. That is, the transformation of the body is the growing up of the body, the maturing of the body, until it finally looks like the head, which is Jesus. And so, and this pattern, he says, is that we used to have an old manner of life, or if you want to think about it, we had an old way that we did business, and it primarily functioned out of just nature, if you will. If I'm hungry, I want to feed myself. If I'm thirsty, I want to do this to myself. But as we saw that our hearts, because they had been fallen, they're deceitful, and that there was a way that seemed right to us, but the end of it was death. And so God now is renewing our minds, and he's showing us how to live in a very different way, and how our desires and our longings have actually been deceitful, and they've troubled us, and they've troubled our whole lives, and they've turned us against ourselves and against this family. So he says, you can't live that way any longer. And so he says, and he begins to talk about how this old way of living, this old manner of life, it's called in the Bible, it has to be transformed into this new manner of life, or that is, the old way has to be transferred into the new way. And the New Testament believers were called people of the way. And so we saw that the old manner of life was rooted in our thought life, our thought life, and it was rooted in our thought life. That it was reinforced through repetition. That is, that we'll see that today in this teaching too. Is that when you do something and there's some sort of payoff and you think, well, that works, then guess what happens? You keep doing it, and that reinforces it. And the word that the Bible uses there is that if you've stumbled and you're doing something that's destructive, that's called a deceitful, and you come to believe that works. There is a way that seems right to man, and so you're stumbling in a deceitful path of life. But because you keep doing it, that is, you're reinforcing it by doing it, then guess what? You're being hardened, and it's contrary to faith in Christ. The Bible says you weren't taught that way, so we have to put that off. It's deceitful due to our desires and our longings. It must be put off. It must be overcome by the renewing of our minds. We've been seeing that if the old way is rooted in my thought life, then the new way must be a new thought life. That is, I have to think about things different. God has to teach me something different so that speaking the truth in love, right? I'm going to grow up. I have to learn the truth, and the truth has to overcome the lies. And it must be replaced by putting on righteousness and holiness. And here's what I mean is that it does no good for you to learn something because when you learn something, even though it may be the truth, until you do it, you're not reinforcing it. So you can say, well, I know, yeah, that ought to, you know, exercise. It's one of the things I've learned through the whole pandemic thing is that I got to get some weight off. So I know you got to exercise. And so what happens is that I say, I know I got to exercise, but then I don't exercise. So what I haven't done is I haven't reinforced what I know by what I do. And so if you don't reinforce what you know by what you do, then guess what? You're continuing to stumble and you're continuing to reinforce the other way of life. And so we can't do that. Now, what he does is he begins to talk. He begins to say it this way. So he said, you've got to put off and you've got to put on. And the reason that you put off and you put on is because you're new people. That is, that there's a gospel orientation to this new life. There's a gospel orientation to the new life. And so he's going to go and he's going to give us some specific examples over the next couple weeks of how to do it. He's going to give us specific things, and we're going to see one of those today, and we're going to unpack that. But here's the pattern. The pattern is put off, put on. Here's why. Put off, put on. Here's why. Hold on one second. Oh, okay. So, Jack says I'm not looking in the camera. I'm looking in my Zoom camera, but not into the Facebook camera. So I got to look up a little bit or fix that somehow. And put off, put on, and here's why. And so this first one's the simplest one in the whole wide world, but I think that you're going to see some really cool, ways that Paul does this. Now, what are we putting off? The old manner of life. What are we putting on? Christ and the new manner of life. Why are we putting it on? Because we are the called ones and we're walking worthy of our calling. Okay, so let's look at the verse together. Therefore, he says, here's verse 25 of chapter 4. Therefore, here's our first one. Having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Put off falsehood, put on speaking the truth with your neighbor, for we are members one of another. So there's the pattern. And Paul is essentially saying that this is the truth of your life. You lived before you were a believer according to falsehood. And falsehood primarily is this. There was a way that I thought was right, but the end thereof, there was a way of death. And one of the things that's a very much difficulty with our own minds is we don't believe that we're deceived. We don't believe that we believe lies and live lies, and we live them out. We have lie-based thinking and lie-based living, and we don't believe that we do. And so, and what that means is that we think that what we think must be right. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof, the Bible says, is death. So even though we think it's right, it doesn't mean that it is right. And God clearly says that it isn't in our old way of life. So what does God have to introduce to us in order to clean that all up? Well, he has to renew our mind with the truth. And what is the truth? Well, it's not what I come up with that I call my truth, because that's still part of the old manner of thinking, where I think I can come up with something that's right. The truth is what God says. Jesus is the truth. And so I've got to ask God what is the truth, because I have to presuppose that I don't know it. I have to presuppose that the mind is darkened and deceived, and that it doesn't know the truth, and therefore I have to ask God about it, and so that I won't do it, so I can put off falsehood. So I put off falsehood, and it's been my manner of life. It's been my manner of life to just figure stuff out and think I must be right and do it. And that manner of life is deceptive. It's not the truth. It's not the truth that just because I thought it up, I'm right about it. And God says his new, the new mind has to say, unless God says it, and unless I know it's the truth from God, and unless God taught me that truth, then I'm not going to do it. I'll show you this in examples in a minute. So put away falsehood. The Colossians passage, which is a sister passage to this passage, says, don't lie to one another, seeing that you've put off your old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. It's being renewed in knowledge. Okay, so in other words, the knowledge that I had, I've been lying, I've been living in this falsehood, and God says I have to put that off, and I have to put on my new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. So that's my mind being renewed, back to the pattern and how we do it. My mind's being renewed in knowledge, and how is it being renewed in knowledge specifically? After the image of its creator. So that is, I have to look to God, who my mind is being renewed, and my mind is being renewed after the image of my creator, and I have to look to my creator, and he has to guide my mind and teach me the truth. Because if I think that I have it figured out, and where everyone does what it's right in their own eyes, if I think that there is a way that seems right to me, therefore it must be right, well, I'm deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself. I don't know my own fallenness. I don't know, to say it another way, I don't know my own biases. I don't know the influence that sin and trouble has had in my life. There may have been a lot of trouble in my life that influences the way I think. There may have been a lot of trouble in my life that influences the way I see you and the way I see the world. And I have to submit that troubled mind to a God who knows how the world really is and knows what his purposes were for the world. And so then what happens is that I take my thoughts captive, and I place my thoughts under, submit them, if you will, under what I know to be true about God. And then what happens is God's thoughts now are the thoughts that are my thoughts. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. So God's thoughts are my thoughts. And when I reject, and so my pattern of life is then, what does God say about it? What does God say about it? What does God say about it? Well, I know, I mean, this is the right thing, you know, I mean, I don't know, man, I'm just being, you know, but what does God say about it? And that's the pattern of life. So the first thing I have to do, though, is I have to address the fact that my old manner of life was to do what was right in my own eyes. My old manner of life was to think that because there is a way that seemed right to me, that it was right. And I have to put that off. I have to quit thinking that way. And I have to put on the truth. And that is, I have to let my mind be renewed. That is, I have to listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit is renewing my mind in truth. And as the Holy Spirit renews my mind in truth, what I have to do then is I have to obey the truth, walk in the truth, however you think about that. And then God's going to give us a purpose for all that. So put off falsehood. And he says, and then let every one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor. Now, so how is that a spiritual thing? In other words, how is this isn't just law and, you know, everybody knows, and this is interesting that Paul uses this one that's super simple. You know, everybody knows not to lie and to tell the truth. Thou shalt not lie, it's in the law. How is this different than the law? Well, here's the difference. In the law just says, you know, thou shalt not lie. And if you do, by the way, you're condemned. Well, what God has showed us is that our condemnation has already been cared for in Christ. That is, that Christ was condemned for me and for all the people that God gave to him, that whole bride, that whole church. Well, God has already paid. So now there's no condemnation in my lie, which is what the law was getting at. But now God has a new purpose for me telling the truth. It's the same purpose that he had before, but it's without the condemnation, if you will. And he's saying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor. And so you're saying, okay, well, what's the difference? Well, here's the difference. God has given us Christ, and he's given us Christ's Holy Spirit. And we know this about Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus says what? Jesus says, I am the truth. So guess what? And he said, and by the way, I'm sending you the Spirit of truth who will guide you into all truth. So, wow. Okay, so here's the deal. The God who loves me, the God who saves me, the God who wants me to walk worthy of my calling, the God who chose me and gave me all these spiritual blessings, is the truth and is walking in the truth. And the Titus 1:2 and Hebrews 6:18 say that it is not possible for God to lie. God cannot lie, that it is not possible for God to lie. So let me just say this to you. There's no lie that you'll ever consider, think, or do that came from God. So God can't give you a lie. So if you're in deception, that's not coming from God. That's coming from the devil. Here's what Jesus said about the devil. The devil has nothing to do with the truth. There's no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. So here's the deal. The devil comes, and the devil, he comes, and he is a liar and the father of lies. And so if you're lying even to yourself, self-deception, thinking that you've got it figured out, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. All that's a lie. All that's you just lying to yourself and thinking that your mind isn't fallen. You don't need a God. You don't need the truth to tell you the truth. The truth being Jesus and his word and the word, which is truth. The Bible says sanctify them in the truth, and your word is the truth. And so when we say we don't need the truth, we're lying. We're self-deceived, and we're going to suffer because of that. So God's people are walking in the truth. They're walking according to the truth. They speak the truth in love to one another. They do that because Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the Holy Spirit teaches us all the truth. And so where do I get the truth from? Not from my own mind. I get the truth from God. And sure, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, but it's thy word that keeps me from sinning against thee, not Bobby's word. It's not me saying that there was a way that Bobby figured out, and at the end of it is the way of life. No, Bobby didn't figure out nothing that has to do with life. Jesus figured out what has to do with life. And so what I have to do is walk in Jesus and walk in his truth. And when I'm walking in Jesus and I'm walking in Jesus's truth, then I'm not walking in falsehood. So I have to put off falsehood. What is falsehood? Again, falsehood is that deceit, that me thinking that I've got it all figured out, that me thinking that that I can sort the world out in my own way, or even trusting somebody else who's smarter than me to sort it out. I have to realize that the only truth is from God, that He's the truth, and that I'm found in Him, and that's the truth that sets me free. That's the truth that renews my mind. That's the truth that allows me to walk and to be renewed in the image of my Creator. That's it. And the only way I'm going to be renewed into the image of my Creator, the only way the church is going to grow up, is because we've been renewed in the truth. Now, here he gets to this gospel purpose. So what is the gospel purpose of putting off falsehood and speaking the truth to one another, to your neighbor? What's the gospel purpose of? Because you're members of one another. And we saw this. One of God's great purposes was to gather to himself this one bride, and the one bride would be his body. We're one. Like when the Bible says in marriage, he says, the two of you became one flesh. Well, in the same way, the husband, Jesus, his wife, us, the church, are one flesh, and we're one body. And so here's the purpose of not lying and speaking the truth to one another, is that every single time that you're lying, you're actually turning against yourself, your own body. I did research. This is for the fun of it. I had actually heard this in another environment. And so I did, I looked up this study that had been referenced, and this study was talking about why people don't go to the doctor. And that is, they feel, they have symptoms. They know that they're there. And they won't go get them checked out. And they were talking about certain ones that, you know, people will have obvious symptoms for a year to 5 years before they'll go get it checked out. And so they know the truth, that is the symptom, but they don't want to go get the symptom cared for. And any doctor, all you doctors, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but any doctor will tell you, man, the longer you let stuff go, the worse it is. And any Christian counselor will tell you, the longer you let stuff go, the worse it is. And anybody who's ever been in a marriage will tell you, the longer you let stuff go, the worse it is. You just can't get away with nothing. And so here's the thing. If you aren't willing to speak the truth in love, if you will, you're really kind of turning against yourself. You're turning on yourself. The Bible says the reason we don't lie to each other is because we're one with one another. And why would I lie to myself? And it turns out that we do lie to ourselves all the time. We lie to ourselves about our problems. We lie to ourselves about, and one of the ways we lie to ourselves about our problems is we don't take responsibility for them. We always blame them on somebody else. That's the lie. I'm not responsible for my problem. Somebody else is. And the way we lie to one another, we do the same thing with one another. You know, we try to protect each other. And what is trying to protect each other? We're trying to take responsibility for that person's feelings, or I don't want to make them hurt their feelings, or this or that, or the next thing. So we just lie to each other. But if we knew that we were, so think about this. What if you do something that's affecting me? And we're part of the same body. And I don't tell you the truth about it. Then what's happening is I'm continuing to hurt me. And God says your members one another. So literally lying is turning on each other. It's literally turning on your own body. It's literally being against your own family. It's literally acting as if you're not one when you are. So what's the gospel truth? The gospel truth is that we're members of one another, that God in Christ has made a people, and that people's members one of another. And so we can't We have to put off falsehood, and we have to put on speaking the truth to our neighbor, because we're members of one another. That everything that I, that when I'm lying or living in deceit or not speaking the truth, I know Brett talks about this, is that he says it's just the Southern hospitality thing to do. You know what I mean? It's like always take responsibility for somebody's feelings and never hurt anybody's feelings, never be direct, always be this passive aggressive thing and all this nonsense, you know, and all that stuff's essentially just lying. It's falsehood. And we can't, and even lying about a doctrine to protect you. I don't want to hurt your feelings or make you think bad of me. So, you know, here's the truth of the scripture, but I know that you think something else, so I'm not going to tell you. I mean, and we just do this, but what we don't realize is that it's like there's a cancer, but we just aren't willing to go to the doctor about it. And we aren't willing to believe the truth. What is it that sets me free? It's the truth that sets me free. So think about it this way. Here's another way to think about it. Love, which is the thing that binds us together, right? Love is this thing that binds us together. Love believes all things. 1 Corinthians 13:7. One of my favorite lines. And what does that mean? I mean that I love you. I give you the benefit of the doubt. I believe in you. I believe in you. And so what does falsehood do then to that? Well, falsehood is this act of unloving that where now if I'm dealing in falsehood, now you don't believe me anymore. And I've hindered. It's like you can't trust me anymore because I'm not living in the truth. And that hurts who? Me and you, because we're one with each other. Our relationship. And Jesus says you have to tell each other the truth, because that's how your relationships stay fixed. And if you deal with each other in falsehood, then the very thing that love begets, which is that you're trusting each other, gets messed up by your falsehood. And so God tells us to we're one, we're members. So you can't lie to me, because that's turning on yourself. It's turning on us, and we're one. And so you can't do it. Listen to this passage in 2 Timothy 2:25-26. I love it in the King James, because the King James actually gets the Greek exactly right. And there's a word play that the King James picks up on in the Greek that some of the other translations don't pick up on. So listen to this in the King James, 2 Timothy 2:25-26. In Paul's talking to Timothy about how to help somebody, essentially. And he says this: in meekness, instruct those who oppose themselves. They've turned on themselves. And what did we just say that falsehood is? It's turning on yourself. What is falsehood? It's also turning on your neighbor. And it says, if peradventure God will grant them repentance. And so I'm going to instruct you with what? The truth. Why? Because you've turned on yourself in falsehood. If peradventure God will grant you repentance. Repentance means to change your mind. So if God grants you to see the truth, you've turned on yourself because of falsehood. If God grants you to see the truth, you will acknowledge the truth. And if you acknowledge the truth, here's what it says. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves. So you were turned against yourself because of falsehood. And now you've recovered yourself because God has granted you to believe the truth. And then listen to this. This is powerful. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, because all falsehood come from who? The devil. And the devil uses falsehood as a snare to you and to us in the body, right? And
It says, who are taken captive by him at his will. So here's how the devil takes people captive to do the devil's will. Here's how he does it. He just puts falsehood in your mind. He just lets you think that there is a way that seems right to Bobby, and that's the way it is. And he lets me do what's right in my own eyes. And he lets me infect the community of faith with that foolishness. And guess what happens? I turn on myself. I become opposed to myself. And guess what also happens? Because I happen to be a part of the body, I become opposed to you. And you're opposed to me. And we rupture each other. And so God says, don't do that. He says, listen, teachers, teach the truth to one another. When you're sitting there together and there's conflict, I guarantee that conflict has some sort of non-truth in it. And what if both of you were to say, man, we're in conflict, and so we're definitely, because we've turned on each other and love believes all things, and the only way the devil trips us up is by falsehood, and so somehow we're deceived and we're thinking wrong about this, and what if we just submitted our thoughts to God, and what if we let God tell us how to think about this thing, and that would straighten everything out. I'm not right and you're not right, but God is right and both of us are wrong, and if we could both submit ourselves to God's way of thinking about something, that would give us peace. And guess what? That's good for you and it's good for me. And the Bible says it literally helps us recover ourselves, recover our relationship, even with ourselves. There's nothing worse than me turning on myself by walking in falsehood. You know, like, who am I trying to kid? I mean, I can't kid myself. Walking around doing that is in some weird form of self-protection, but it's a self-protection that's deceptive and it's actually destructive because it doesn't protect me at all. It actually hurts me. And so here's the pattern. If you want to get rid of this old manner of life, which everybody thinks, you know, that they're right and all that garbage, then here's what you do. You look for the truth. And the truth is above and beyond. The truth, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Bible says thy word is truth. The Bible says that we're sanctified by that word that is the truth. And so we've been set apart by the truth of God, if you will. And so what happens is that we own up to our own deception. We own up to our own wrong way of thinking. We own up to our own, we've got the world figured out and everybody does what's right in their own eyes. And when we believe that we're one with one another and we're not going to sacrifice that unity, we're eager to maintain the unity and the bond of peace, especially with my wife and also with myself, and also with the people around me, and also with the body of Christ, and also even with my neighbor. And so we do that because we're either one human family with one another, or more specifically, we're members of each other if we're in the body of Christ. And so what happens is we don't turn on ourselves. And you think about some of this, you know, like our political conversation and all that kind of stuff, we're turned against each other. And the reason we're turned against each other is because we all think that our way is the right way. We haven't submitted ourselves to the truth. And the truth is what God says about stuff. And it's the same thing. And you're arguing with your husband and you're arguing with your wife. You're right. And you're always just trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong. And there's another way. And the other way is that the truth is right and both of you are wrong. And as both of you submit to that, if both of you come into agreement of something that's above you and beyond you, then it is yours for Christ's sake, then guess what happens? Your relationships smooth out and they become God-honoring and what God wants to do. So here's the pattern. Your problem, your old manner of life is stuck in your thought patterns. Your thought patterns are deceptive and lies and buried in falsehood. All that has to be straightened out. That gets straightened out by the truth. So I'm going to recognize and put off my falsehood. I'm going to be straightened out by the truth. God is going to renew my mind with the truth. That truth is going to come from Jesus, who is the truth, and the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And it's going to guide me into all truth. And once that happens, then what happens is I now am not turned against myself and I'm not turned against you. I'm now have recovered myself and I'm recovering you. And as that happens, God is glorified and his church is exalted and his son is exalted because his son is the head of the church, right? Do everything to glorify God, right? And he says that his church is his glory. And so we're doing things now that will glorify God. And guess what we're doing? We're walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling that we have, which is in Christ. That's how we do it. Put it off, put it on. Here's the gospel reason, and go and do it. Now, here's the thing. This does you no good unless you go out this week and the next time you feel a little tension, a little chaos, that you say, oh, I'm thinking wrong somehow, and I submit myself to the truth and let God teach me. And then God teaches me about it. I may need some help. Go get it. And when God teaches me about it, straightens me out, reunites me to myself, reunites me to you, and sends me out living a life that's worthy of the great calling that God has given me when he chose me in Christ and you in Christ, his body in Christ, before the foundation of the world. God be with you till we meet again. And I'm looking forward to being able to meet in face-to-face over the next weeks. God bless you.